You talking down on us, we live it up.
How about that?
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Can we stop cheating in baseball? Can we please do that?
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
In the meantime, Tim Tebow shows up in Jacksonville, Florida. I can't get the Tim Tebow dislike.
Earlier on the show, Los Angeles Rams quarterback Matthew Stafford. Coming up, Vikings general manager Rick Spielman. NBA analyst Greg Anthony. Plus, 9-year NFL veteran Nate Ebner. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Lots going on in the world from the weekend with Phil Mickelson winning a major at age 50. First time we've ever seen someone half a century do that. And then, of course, the NBA playoffs, 8 games in, lots of surprises and upsets and things to talk about. Greg Anthony, who called the Hawks win in Madison Square Garden against the Knicks on Turner yesterday. He will join us. Rick Spielman, the general manager of the Minnesota Vikings, will join us. We always like having decision makers on the show. Nate Ebner, the safety of the New York Football Giants, who's got a book out. He's going to try and make the rugby Olympic team for the United States. He made it in Rio in 2016, 3-time Super Bowl champion. We'll talk with him in hour number three. Matthew Stafford's about to join us. The world's popping because Shannon Sharp on his show Undisputed got Julio Jones on the phone, put him on speaker. Sure did not sound like Julio knew he was on live television. He asked him what was going on between him and Skip Bayless, which was Julio joining the Cowboys because rumor is that the Falcons can't keep him due to his cap charge. And he asks him, Shannon, on live television, on speakerphone, holding it up to his lav mic, hey, would you go to the Dallas Cowboys? You're going to stay in Atlanta? And Julio's answer is, nah, I'm out of there. Huh. Oh, boy. So any leverage that Terry Fontenot thinks he may have on other teams that are looking for Julio Jones, because according to Ian Rappaport, Julio requested a trade months ago. That has earned Ian Rappaport a phone call into this show in 40 minutes time that he has agreed in the commercial break to do.
Oh, yeah.
So we got lots going on, especially with our next guest. Is he on the phone line right now, Chris?
Yes, he is.
He is in his 13th year in the National Football League, but his first with a new team outside of the city of Detroit. He is the Los Angeles Rams quarterback, Matthew Stafford, here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Matthew Stafford?
I am doing good, Rich. How are you?
I am doing well. So it took me when I moved to Los Angeles back in 2003, it took me a while to realize that whenever I was working indoors, this was at NFL Network, I was working indoors, and it took me at least 2, 3, 4 weeks to stop lamenting, man, I'm indoors when it's so beautiful outside, because it's usually very beautiful outside. Have you gone through that process so far, Matthew
Well, luckily
Stafford?
For me, my job is outside.
Ah, that's true.
I get to enjoy it, but I am enjoying it for sure. I pinch myself waking up and seeing the sun up every day, and about 70, 75 degrees. It's pretty nice.
It sure is. So far, what have you been doing so far to get yourself acclimated football-wise? Walk me through that process for you, Matthew.
Yeah, you know, I think I've just been trying to catch up as much as I can. You know, I'm in a little bit of a unique position in the fact that everybody here has pretty much been running some version of this offense for the last 4 or 5 years. So, you know, they're definitely ahead of the game when it comes to the mental aspect when, you know, as far as where I'm at. So I'm just trying to catch up, do everything I can there. And then last week we kind of started doing some on-field stuff in a little bit of a limited capacity, but it was good to get out there and meet the guys and kind of start working with them, throwing with them, and doing all that kind of stuff. So it's picking back up, but, yeah, it's definitely a process for me and something that is a big challenge on the mental aspect, but I will, you know, do my part to make sure I'm ready to go.
And what about McVay? He talks very fast, Matthew.
he does. He's a smart guy. He's got a lot to say.
I know that. I guess you have to pick up his cadence as well, too. I imagine.
Yeah, definitely. There's communication. You know, obviously he's giving me the plays through the headset. We're talking constantly out at practice, and you know, and in the meetings and all that kind of stuff. Just trying to you know, get to know each other as best we can, because that's an important relationship for not only the offense but our team.
And so, how many plays is he giving you? Or is he going to give you multiple ones? Is he going to give you one, and then it's your job at the line to figure out what happens there? I mean, what is the protocol that you're expecting
It's a little bit of everything. You know, sometimes we got one, we got two, we got open-ended. You know, just about like everybody else in the NFL, there's a bunch of different options. But, you know, it's definitely a complex offense, one that, you know, has been, you know, executing and been atop the NFL for a long time around here. So just got a lot of, you know, a lot of work to do to make sure we keep it there and get better.
Let's get to the road to Los Angeles, Matthew Stafford. At what point did you decide or figure out, you, your wife, your family, your team, that you were going to make an attempt here to start a new chapter football-wise? Can you walk me through that process, please, Matthew?
Yeah, I mean, that was a tough one. You know, it was something that, you know, I definitely spent a lot of time talking and thinking about with, you know, people I'm close to, mostly just my wife, you know, and a little bit of family. But, you know, it was something that kind of came to fruition after the season. I went in and talked to, you know, the leadership over there in Detroit, and they were amazing, you know, to me. They were really receptive and understanding at the same time. You know, we wanted to do what was best for both parties, and I feel like we got that done. You know, it was about as smooth a process as it can go when it comes to trading away somebody who's been, you know, in your organization for 12 years. So I was really appreciative of the way they handled it, and you know, I hope they were, you know, fond of the way I handled it as well. So it worked out. You know, I got nothing but great memories there, and a bunch of great friends and people I care a lot about. So it was tough to leave, but at the same time, I'm excited for, you know, a new chapter for me, my family, and you know, out here in L.A. is going to be a lot of fun.
No question these things could go sideways. I mean, you know that. I mean, being in the league for over a decade, when you go into a front office or reach out to somebody, who did you reach out to? Did you go to the owner? Did you go to whoever was the general manager at the time? Because, you know, there was such a transition period. I mean, who did you speak to with such a sensitive request that if it gets out, it could send things in a totally different direction than the one that it wound up in with you in Los Angeles, Matthew?
Yeah, I mean, it was delicate, no question. You know, so I talked to Rod Wood, who's our team president, and Sheila, Mrs. Ford Hamp. So that was those were the two people that I talked to. You know, and they were obviously you know, been around me for a while and understand where I was coming from, and you know, I think disappointed, but also understanding and you know, responsive. So that was a good thing, and again, I just can't say enough about the way they handled it, you know, and I hope they feel the same way, you know, with the way I did. But just happy that, you know, you're seeing it today. You know, there's all sorts of, you know, things going on where, you know, basically the player and the team or the franchise, you know, aren't seeing eye to eye. And I was just happy that, you know, it worked out as smoothly as it did for me.
Matthew Stafford here on the Rich Eisen Show. As for the why to go and decide after 12 years, you know, I'm going to take things a little bit in my own hands, even without, you know, having a free agency year that's right around the corner, to try and make a change. You spoke to the great Sam Farmer here in Los Angeles for the LA Times. I love that guy. And you spoke with him. And I just want to take an exchange from your Q&A that was printed in the Los Angeles Times last week. He mentioned two quarterbacks, Rich Gannon and Carson Palmer, who were able to redefine themselves in their last stops of their career. He asked you, do you think about that? Your answer was, there's no question, absolutely, different scenario, but even Tom Brady last year going to a new team and a different coach and a new way of doing things and having success. Did Brady in Tampa make you, in a way, sit down and go, okay, if he can do that after 20 years and after winning all those championships there, maybe I can try it. Was he kind of, in a way, lack of a better phrase, inspiration for you to try it?
I don't know. You know, I think I kind of take in the landscape of the league every year. Obviously, it was an incredible thing that he was able to do last year. You know, after basically knowing one way for a long, long time and having a ton of success, and then just kind of picking up and moving on and taking that success with him, which I thought was really impressive. Some of those other guys that were mentioned in that article, obviously, you know, were part of it. But at the same time, just because one or all three of those guys did what they did didn't mean I was going to do what I was going to do. It was something that really came from, you know, my family and my situation, because everybody's situation is different. But it is nice to know that You know, it can happen, and guys have done it. It's a lot of hard work, and you know, a lot of changes and a lot of new faces and all that kind of stuff. But you can definitely make it work.
Matthew Stafford here on the Rich Eisen Show, and again, to say that you know, we can say it in the business that this is your most talented team that you've maybe been around, and that's a lot to say. Certainly, since there's a first ballot Hall of Famer that's going in Megatron, and you did have some talented players. But I'm wondering what your thoughts were when you were in this huddle and seeing all these guys. Kopp and Woods and Cam Akers and Whitworth as well, the gray beard that's going to have your back. I mean, what was it like being in that huddle, looking around at your new teammates, Matthew?
It was great. You know, obviously, I've got a lot of respect for what a lot of these guys have been able to do for a long time in this league, and some of the, you know, immediate success guys have had, some young players that are playing at a really high level. So more than anything, you know, I felt a sense of responsibility to make sure that I'm doing my part to make sure these guys get to achieve everything they want to achieve. And you know, at the end of the day, the quarterback's, you know, the facilitator. I got to get these guys the ball, and whether it's handing it to Cam or you know, throwing it to Cooper, whatever it is, it's my job to make sure that I'm getting them the ball so they can do their thing. And so I just felt a bunch of responsibility to make sure that as a new guy coming in that I was up to speed and doing everything I can to try and you know, immerse myself in this offense and learn it and be there as quickly as possible.
Are you aware of the number of times that you've had a 100-yard rusher either to your left or behind you in a single game?
What is it, 10 or 12?
It's 11,
like that,
right 11. In the middle. Let's split the difference. It's 11.
Yeah, 11. Yep.
It's 11, Matthew. I mean, so what do you think of the running core here and what it will add to what you can do? Because the general sense of things is you are about to be on a launching pad position in your career in year 13. I wonder what you think right now.
Yeah, I mean, obviously there's really talented players in the backfield. You know, in this offense, we do a great job of mixing up looks you know, using motion to our advantage. You know, I think we hand it to the receivers. We hand it to the running backs, you know. So it's going to be, you know, an exciting thing for me. It's a lot to learn. Lots of process to make sure I'm getting us in the best plays and the best runs. And then it's going to be fun to watch these guys up front do their thing and the guys carrying the ball, you know, go make guys in the secondary miss and break off big runs. So I'm excited to be a part of it. You know, the whole culture, the whole team, everybody that I've met here has been fantastic. So I'm just, you know, just excited about, you know, trying to take advantage of this opportunity.
Okay, in the few minutes I have left with you, Matthew Stafford, what is the most Los Angeles thing you've done to date since being a Los Angeles resident? What is literally the one thing I can't believe I'm doing? Have yoga, hot yoga? what do you got? Avocado
that's a great
toast?
Question.
What do you got? What have you done?
I mean, I ate at Nobu in Malibu. I feel like that's a pretty trendy LA
well
thing.
Well done. That deserves a round of applause from the Rich Eisen Show crew. What you actually, you know, one of the first, this is a Los Angeles thing, you know, for some, you know, knock on wood. That running into somebody in Cabo is a very Los Angeles thing. And it looks like that was the first Los Angeles thing you did, right? With Sean McVay?
Yeah, we can check that off the list. Yep, I did that. Yeah, I ran into crazy thing. Ran into those guys down there, him and Witt. And there were actually a bunch of other NFL guys down there. But ran into those guys. And you know, that was kind of what jump-started, I think, the whole thing. So it was crazy seeing them down there and all that, but just glad that, you know, worked out the way it did.
So it was totally random that as you were being potentially acquired by the Los Angeles Rams, that there was McVay, there was Whitworth. Because, again, this is not free agency. It's not like the Clippers running off to Dallas to keep DeAndre Jordan or something like that locked in their house, like from a couple of years ago. But maybe this was maybe this was planned. I don't know. What do you think?
No, it was honestly totally random. Of all the places to stay in Cabo, to be in the same place, I was going down there with just my wife. We didn't really know where we were staying. Got a call on where we were going, and you know, ended up being a very similar or the same place that you know, Witt and Coach were at. So it was kind of a crazy deal, you know, and then it, you know, kind of just snowballed from there and happened the way it did.
Well, the other Los Angeles thing is to be on television, have another human being offer you something for your parking spot. That's another Los Angeles thing that happened on NFL Network just a couple weeks ago.
It did. Some lunatic, some crazy guy was asking me for it, but yep. No, you, we can work something out.
Because
we'll figure it out.
Again, you know, like I already went to Brandon Staley of the Chargers and asked him for his spot on Rams home days. So if I get the Chargers coach and the Rams quarterback, I think I'm walking like 2 feet to work, basically. Do you know where your spot
sounds
is already?
Like you're going to be in a good spot.
Do you know where your spot is already at SoFi Stadium, Matthew? Or no, you don't.
I don't.
That?
I have no idea. I'm just trying to figure out my day to day at the moment, Rich.
Matthew,
but whenever I figure out where I'm parking, I will make sure I give you a buzz.
Look, I know you're tight with Clayton Kershaw, but let me help you about Los Angeles life as well. There's nothing more important than parking. There really isn't. Honestly, that's all we talk about is whose spot is where and valet parking and where you park. Did you really walk? Like walking someplace. Nobody does that here ever. So I'm just trying to help you with this. I'm serious. I'm trying to help you with this. And then last one for you. Is it true Kershaw blew somebody up on a football field for you when you were kids? Is that really true? Matthew Stafford.
Yeah, that's true. He got ejected from a game. You know, he's my center and a guy hit me late and then he took, you know, exception to that and hit that dude even later and got booted from the game, but I was all for it. And that's just kind of the competitor he is. You guys see it, you guys have been seeing it for years, so just imagine that guy you know, with some football pads on, and you could definitely imagine it.
So, wait a minute. Was he a late bloomer? How is he a center? I mean, was he somebody who just...
Yeah,
What?
He shot up in high school. He got, you know, not that he was a small guy or a short guy, but he definitely, like, went from, I don't even know, 5'10 to 6'3 or whatever he is now.
Damn.
In a quick period of time, and that's when 97 came, and... He has always had the curveball and all the you know competitive aspects of being a great pitcher, but that extra heat came definitely when he shot up.
So if you were his catcher, I mean, you'd prevent somebody from charging the mound as well. So because you guys go way back, he's done that for you.
Absolutely.
Do that for him. Okay. Very good, Matthew. Thanks for the time. I saw you wearing number 9 too. So I'll whatever you know you gave Walford, if anything, you know I'll take half that for the parking spot. And if it was nothing, if he just handed it to you, I'll take your spot, is essentially what I'm saying.
Okay, perfect. I'll keep that in mind.
Can we use the Walford deal as our benchmark, Stafford?
As a framework?
Yeah.
But I don't understand why I'm paying you for you to have my spot. I think it's got to go the other way.
No, I know that. That's what I'm saying. Whatever you gave Walford, hopefully, you know, unless Walford's just like, here's my 9, and then you should just give me your spot. Because, again, I will...
No, it was...
What?
It was a bit more complicated than that, so I'll send you the numbers later.
Is it a spreadsheet? What are you talking about?
I'm just kidding.
All right. You're all right. Matthew, thanks for the time, sir. Always appreciate it. Welcome to Los Angeles.
Appreciate it, Rich. Have a good one.
You bet. That's Matthew Stafford, the Los Angeles Rams quarterback here on the Rich Eisen Show. And I think the best metric, I should have brought this up. He's hung up, right?
Yeah, he's
hung up. I think the best metric, I think, would be, you know, to show how excited people are for his success here in L.A. is that you are not going to give up many of the season tickets as well.
Definitely not.
I mean, I didn't even go. Oh, gosh, I didn't even go there that the Lions are coming in here.
Yeah. Also, you know what? You know what's kind of messed up in my house?
What?
Matthew Stafford went to Georgia.
Yes.
Sarah, my lady, is from Georgia.
Yes.
Her voicemail still says you've reached Sarah Tiana and Matthew Stafford.
You have a problem with that?
Actually, not. Actually, I kind of don't.
Oh, okay. Did you just bring that up?
I just wanted to bring that up.
Okay, very good. Very, very good. Ian Rapoport's going to join us in 20 minutes. The numbers involving Julio Jones's contract. There are 4 teams that can afford the guaranteed payment that's currently sitting out there right now. I think that's what this is. It's a $15 million guaranteed bonus that's coming right now, right? It's $15 million.
His salary for this year is fully guaranteed.
That's it. So it's $15 million.
$15 million.
Who's going to be paying $15 million? There are 4 teams that can actually do it, according to Jeremy Fowler of ESPN.
With the current cap space that these 4 teams have.
Chargers, Colts, 49ers, Patriots. Every last one of them should be on the phone right now to Terry Fontenot saying, what do you do? What do you do? Chargers, Colts, 49ers, Patriots, their fortunes change on the spot, even with some of their fortunes already in good shape.
Thanks to free agency in the draft.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, you got to do it right now. especially since the next 2 years, there's only $2 million guaranteed in 2022 and nothing guaranteed in 2023, which is, I'm sure, part of what Julio Jones tries to figure this out. Why he wants maybe some out of Atlanta right now. Because they can't, I mean, he sees the writing on the wall.
I'm not going to be there.
Greg Anthony, that's a good Magic Johnson reference. Greg Anthony coming up next. What happened this weekend with Greg Anthony from the NBA playoffs first round coming up. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN.
Good to see you, Shaquille O'Neal. How are you, sir?
Before we get started.
Yes.
If I take this home, will I get arrested?
The Vince Lombardi trophy?
Is this the real one? Or
that's the real one. That's a real Vince Lombardi trophy. I don't know if that's the one that's going to be given to the Rams and the Patriots this weekend, but that is a real... You want to lift it?
Well, if I lift it, I want to take it home.
No, if you... Well... then I think we're at a crossroads here.
Actually, we're not at a crossroads. Let me tell you why.
Okay, sure.
I'm not a lawyer, but I watch a lot of law shows.
Okay.
I got about 50 witnesses that seen me hit my head on your set.
Oh.
So if you just give me this, I'll let bygones be bygones.
So it's a liability issue
for me.
That turns into an even worse liability issue.
I don't want to have to call it the Shaq Eisen show.
I know that.
All you got to do is just give me this and I'll put it next to mine. This is beautiful.
I'm doing the math in my head as to how much you'd be suing me for personal liability as to how much this trophy costs, which I've been told is around $22,000.
Well, I'll be suing you for $23,000.
You want to lift it?
No, I don't want to touch it.
Okay, you sure you don't want to touch that?
Bad luck.
Bad luck for you or for...
No, to touch the trophy when you don't earn it.
I like that.
Yeah, my father used to always...
Are you serious?
Yeah, he always used to... Because, you know, like when you're a kid, you get the trophy from the local trophy shop.
Sure.
You'd be like, if you listen to me, guys, you get this. You want to touch it? Don't touch it. It's bad luck. You got to earn it.
Right.
So that's why, you know how like in the NBA when you win the Eastern Conference or the Western Conference, they give you those little trophies? Yeah. I never touched it and I never celebrated.
I remember Phil did that too, right? Yeah. Didn't you, like when you guys won the Western Conference Finals, yeah, of one of the many times you did?
Yeah, I never touched it. I never looked at it, never celebrated. This is beautiful, though.
It's a beautiful trophy. Yeah. Do you get a replica? Because, you know, NFL players can get like a mini replica of this.
I got four replicas.
Of the Larry O'Brien trophy?
And I gave them to my father. Because growing up, he used to always take my trophies and let me celebrate it 1 or 2 days, and then he'd put them away. So finally, I got enough courage to ask him why he did that. And he said he never wanted me to be satisfied. So after he passed away, I went and retrieved all my trophies from Little League, high school, college, put it in a room in my house, and I dedicated to them. So now, like, if you go, you get to see, like, all my trophies. But I wouldn't win it. I'd celebrate it 1 or 2 days, and I, you know, me and him would have dinner, and he would say, thank you very much. And he'd put it there. And I'd come back, like, the next week, hey, Dad, let's go to dinner. Like, where's the trophy? I don't know. Go get another one. That was his thing.
And then you did.
Yeah.
And then you would. And you would.
YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show for our full archive right here on our program. Back here, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Great chat with Matthew Stafford. He is set up. He is in the catbird seat, man. They are so fired up to have him. He's downplaying, I think, just how excited he is, because the last thing he wants is to have any sort of issue or viewed as, don't let the rearview mirror... Don't let the rearview mirror be offended by what you're saying. But he's got to be so fired up and ecstatic to be here in Los Angeles.
I got to think so.
After 12 years in Detroit. Let's go to Al in Atlanta here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Al?
Hey, Rich.
What's on your mind, sir?
Just the Falcons thing. I mean,
do you need a hug? Al, sounds like you need a hug. Do you need a hug?
I need a huge hug.
Okay, here's what we're going to do. A special, this is what we do on the Rich Eisen Show. It's a bro hug. I'm gonna extend my arms, give you a little quick hug, tap on the back, and then we separate. Okay, Al? You ready?
All right.
Here comes the arms around. Okay, here's it. Tap, and then we separate.
Thank you.
Feel better?
Needed that.
Does it feel better? What are you so upset about?
Because I was having a great weekend, Rich.
Okay.
The Braves bounced back after taking a shocking defeat to TJ's Mets, beat the Pirates. Hawks, sadly, I'm sorry. Happy about this.
It's great. They looked amazing.
You know?
Yeah.
They were doing great. I'm sitting there. I'm enjoying my brunch. And I had to be told by local news that Julio Jones wants to trade. It was a shock to the system. Like, what is the aardvark doing? What moves is he making that he's pushing the best receiver we ever had of our team?
It's a $15 million cap hit that's coming, and they clearly can't afford it. And apparently something's going on that he demanded a trade, according to Ian Rappaport months ago. Stay tuned. He's coming up in 13 minutes, Tom. I'm going to ask him what he thinks the circumstances of it is, why that trade request is coming out. But at least enjoy Trae Young in his first playoff performance. Looks like he's a guy who has the ability to meet a moment. And your Braves won 20-1 the other day. So congratulations on that. So that's Alan Atlanta here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Thank you, Rich.
You bet, brother. You bet. By the way, what started the when that gets watched back later, I almost said undefeated as opposed to undisputed. I know what the name of the show is. I'm not doing that I know that sort of stuff makes it seem like it's a broadside. What's the name of that show again? It's a popular program. I understand how successful
it is. It's a television show.
Oh, pardon me. Television show. Okay. So I get it. But apparently what sparked it is that a guy took a photograph walking through an airport with Julio Jones this weekend, and Julio was wearing a Dallas Cowboys sweatshirt. So that's what started the whole business of
that's spicy.
You know, when you throw that piece of red meat in front of those, there's the photograph right there. It looks like a mall.
They're in the mall.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and that's what actually started this whole situation.
Also, not for nothing, Julio Jones has to go to the Nike store to get some new sneaks. He doesn't have a hookup.
I don't know. It could be something that he just had to go run out and get something.
Yeah. All right.
I don't know.
This is very weird.
He sends a receipt up to Oregon.
Yeah.
Why is he wearing a Cowboys hoodie, though? That's weird.
I don't know, because he's just going out.
Maybe he's trying to incognito? Doesn't want to be noticed?
No, but maybe is he a Cowboy fan growing up?
Maybe. I doubt it.
Or maybe he wants to stir some crap up.
Well, it's working.
Maybe it's what he wants to do. Maybe it's just like, hey. And by, you know, I know that Shannon wants to have fun with his partner. That wouldn't be a bad place for him to go, by the way.
Ooh, an embarrassment of riches.
Dude, they can't afford it, though. I mean, again, when it comes down to it, you have to do the math. The math is the math. And the cap situation is what it is, to use an NFL phrase. And what it is it's a smaller situation than any team could prepare for. The salary cap, I've said it before, it's just like real estate. You're assuming the value of your house and the property that you own, if you're fortunate to own anything, is going to go up. That's just the way you assume life in America is going to go. You assume the cost of your house and anything that you own in real estate is going to go up. A car depreciates the minute you take it off the lot. Del Tufo's not here. He'll tell you all about owning a boat, right? But put it all together, and the answer is you assume the cap is going to go up. And it does not. And just at the same time, a bill comes due for your receiver, who is all world, and you don't think you can win this year anyway, and this is the year in which you want to maybe keep everything together. And I know that they went Kyle Pitts as opposed to over the steering wheel for the future at the quarterback position, fourth overall, but when it comes down to it, Kyle Pitts versus a quarterback that you don't have on your board that high, they make this maneuver. And it may seem like a win-now maneuver, but it is a win-for-the-future maneuver with Kyle Pitts. So Julio Jones has requested a trade. I can't wait to find out from Ian Rappaport whatever he can share about why. Was something going on in the season? The fact that they made a coach change? Wasn't happy about that? Did he want Raheem Morris still? You know what I'm saying? Like,
seems like he was popular.
Or he's just sick and tired of the way the offense was being run. Is he not a fan of the quarterback? I mean, these things are, you know, can all be read into it. Maybe none of it's true. But the fact is he asked for a trade. We all thought the reason why the trade conversation was out there is because everybody did the math. But Ian says there's a trade coming, according to... or a trade demand that's been made and thus a trade potentially coming. And the numbers show you that it's going to have to happen after June 1. After June 1, the cap hit, instead of it being the full $15 million, they cut it in half. Atlanta can save half of the money on the cap. What they save in trading Julio Jones, they could sign all their rookies, by the way. Question is who will take $15 million guaranteed on? Who doesn't need to reconfigure their current roster? They could just take it on. Let's go. Chargers, Colts, 49ers, Patriots are the four teams currently, according to Jeremy Fowler of ESPN, that have that cap space. I don't have the cap numbers in front of me. We'll take his word for it. If you're the 49ers, how do you not do this right now? Because the next 2 years, too, you know what he's worth? The next 2 years, only 2.5 of his salary is guaranteed in 2022. In 2023, none of it's guaranteed. Do you know how much his salary is those years? $11.5 million. Let's go.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Now, he'll probably want more guaranteed money in age 33 and age 34. I don't know, but and that's the way you can force a contract
restructure,
situation.
Defer,
but,
whatever.
But let's go. Let's go.
With Trey Lance at quarterback?
Especially since you know they've got to do this for cap space. You know they're between a rock and a hard cap space. And you know the guy wants out because he said it on FS1 this morning. That's the problem with saying something like this on television, is because it undercuts whatever leverage the Falcons may have. He may not care. And it sure did not sound like he knew he was on live television when he did that. I mean, that's just a shocker, to say the least. But you put it all together, how do the 49ers not hop to it right now? Deepest pool in the NFL, the NFC West. Russ coming back to Seattle. Kyler Murray adding A.J. Green and the Cardinals' J.J. Watt. Rams, our guest who just hung up the phone with us, have Matthew Stafford.
Oh, baby.
You get maybe another year of Jimmy G if you want Trey Lance to learn the ropes. How about Julio? In addition to some of the hardest hitting physical receivers, the words physical do not do justice to what some of these guys do. Kittle, on top of all of it. How do you not hop to it? What about the Patriots? You want to have a shot, a rebound season after all the moves they made in free agency, and you still have the ability to go get Julio Jones? You can call him up and say, that two we gave you for Mohamed Sanu? Same thing for Julio. They might laugh at you and say, yeah, do you want us to send you the tape of Undisputed from Monday the 24th?
Yeah, he gone.
He gone.
And then Colts? I know the Titans are potentially mentioned in the mix. You want to make a difference in the AFC South? Carson Wentz, let's go. T.Y. Pittman, and this guy. Chargers. You want to put more fannies in SoFi? Yeah. Go get Powder Blue 11 to go with Powder Blue 13.
Powder Blue 10.
Powder Blue 10. Fannies in the seats in SoFi. Julio Jones added. Let's go. Fans back. Let's go. How do you not do that? Gosh. Those are the four teams. Got to do it. And the only way that Terry Fontenot can whip up the leverage is to get all four teams on the horn right now and hope that somehow their cable bill went out this morning. But it's everywhere.
It's everywhere.
A.J. Brown going at Shannon Sharp on Twitter saying that, not saying, you know, putting him on the air and not letting him know that he's on the air. I wonder if Shannon's going to come out and say, no, we spoke about it off the air and that he knew. If he did, either way, then, like I said, words out. I'm not there. I won't be there. Out. Let's take a break. We'll come back. Ian Rappaport will try and make a little bit more out of this for us in terms of where did the trade demand come from, how long has it been, and what's the odds. And Aaron Rodgers supposedly not at OTAs in Green Bay. That was to be expected, but what next? That's coming up. Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number smart bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
So I have here, word for word, verbatim, three of the great sports rants of all time. And we would love for you to do your best Victor Newman. Is that okay?
No, the first one is Herm Edwards.
Yes, Herm Edwards. The first one up, Herm Edwards on October 30th, 2002, after a Week 8 loss to the Cleveland Browns.
Ooh.
Here is play to win the game, as told by Victor Newman.
This is great about sports. This is what's the greatest thing about sports. Is you play to win. Hello? You play to win the damn game, right? You don't play just to play it. That's the great thing about sports. You play to win. And I don't care if you don't have any wins. You go to play to win. When you start telling me it doesn't matter, get your ass out of here, then retire. 'Cause it matters.
Well done. That's number one. Next up, And October 16th, 2006, after the Cardinals blew a 20-point lead against the Bears on Monday Night Football.
Oh, man.
Dennis Green, they are who we thought they were, as portrayed by Victor Newman.
Bears are who we thought they were, you know? That's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the damn hook.
Very good. Very well done. All right, last one for you.
I can feel it. I can feel it.
I'm glad that we got it rolling, because here's the last one.
I can feel it.
On May 7th, 2002, the famed practice press conference of one Allen Iverson, as recounted by the man who plays Victor Newman, Eric Braeden. Hit it, Mike Tilton.
Great Allen Iverson, my God, man.
Go for it.
I mean, listen, man. You're talking about practice, okay? Not a game. Not a game. Not a game, all right? You're talking about practice. Not a game. Not the game that I go out there and die for and play every game like it's my last. Not the game. You're talking about practice, man. I mean, how silly is that? I know it's important. Yeah, I do. I honestly do. But we're talking about practice, man. What are we talking about? Practice. We're talking about practice, man.
Eric, I think that's your finest work, if you don't mind me saying.
Well, thank you very much.
Stephen A. Smith, BFF. Eric Braeden, by the way. There.
How
back
are they
here
BFFs?
On the Rich Eisen Show Peacock, and also the Rich Eisen Show radio affiliate, Sirius XM, Channel 211, or terrestrial radio affiliate near you. Joining me right here on the Rich Eisen Show, my colleague from the NFL Media Group, Rap Sheet himself, Ian Rappaport. How are you, sir?
What's going on, Rich? How are you?
Well, I just want to let you know before we continue, you're on live television and radio, Ian, okay?
All right.
Just want to let you make sure you're aware of that.
It's funny, like, after, you know, I reported some Julio things today, and sometimes you check on the Twitters to see, like, the reaction, what are people saying, and I clicked on the trending topics, and one of the things that was trending was just, did Julio, as in, did Julio know that he was on the air? And it's a great question. I hope that he did. If he did not, there are many, 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 many questions about it. I don't think he said anything necessarily wrong. Probably didn't come off like maybe he wanted, but did Julio know he's on air is a legitimate and real question.
Well, yeah. I mean, because if he did, then the trade demand that you say that's been in the works for several weeks and months, that clearly he did not go out and say anything about publicly, that his stance has changed on all of that. So, like, I guess let's get into what you tweeted out this very morning, that the All-Pro requested a trade from the organization a few months ago, according to sources.
Yeah.
The team then agreed to listen to offer. That's how it began and why it continues. Do we know why Julio requested a trade months ago?
Yeah, this seems to me, now, first of all, like, you know, obviously this is something I've sort of, I would say, known, thought very strongly for a couple weeks. And I got this, you know, inclination during the draft when all of a sudden trade talk kind of popped up out of nowhere, and I never quite could confirm it. And then, you know, Julio going public today probably helped spur this along a little bit. But, you know, this seems to me to be somewhat similar to the Matthew Stafford situation, right? Like, Stafford had played with the Lions. He had given everything. He had had some really, really good performances, played through injuries, been through some stuff, some highs and some lows, and obviously Julio probably more highs than Stafford, but it just seems to be, if the organization is, you know, they're not rebuilding in Atlanta, but they're definitely starting new, and I'm just not sure that he wanted to be a part of something starting new again. It feels like he'd rather join the team that is already there and just kind of be the final piece to a championship. That is my sense of it, and, you know, he's you know, one of the greatest, and has everything publicly and privately, whatever's going on with Julio has been A+ across the board, and the Falcons are treating him like that. wishes to say he wants to trade, and they're saying, all right, we will, because we respect you, we'll see what we can do.
Well, and obviously there's no reason to do it right away. Certainly if the cap ramifications that the Falcons clearly knew was coming, even without the cap number being announced until March, that right. The cap ramifications of trading him after June 1 and getting him someplace new then in time for training camp is so much better for the team. I mean, the amount of money that they would save on the cap trading him after June 1 would pay for the rookies that you were reporting at the draft. They wouldn't be able to pay even before they drafted him because of the cap charge. So where does all that stand? What do you think is going on? The phone lines with Terry Fontenot, certainly now that Julio Jones has said the words publicly, albeit who knows if he knew he was saying it publicly at the time. He was saying it publicly. But what do you think is happening right now, Ian?
What generally happens is, you know, let's say there's a rumor about a guy being traded, right? And then someone reports, okay, well, the team is now, you know, fielding trade calls. Obviously, the reason is because and they go, ooh, I could get Julio Jones, and they start to call again. And I think for this one, teams, you know, probably had already been calling, and this was an incredibly difficult deal to do. You could have done it. If you wanted to, you could deal next year's draft picks. You could.
Oh. You want to put him on hold, and we'll hopefully get him back and continue the story.
No big, great sign that it's going to happen. I mean,
well, Ian, hold on. Let me just jump in here real quick, because whatever left turn or right turn we heard you making with your clicker, you dropped off. So start one more time off the top. What do you think is happening right now?
That is, apologies. That is what I was afraid of. But I'm about to get to the driving range and stop driving very shortly.
Oh, fantastic.
So hopefully that should stabilize. This is very important stuff. Hopefully this should stabilize my phone service. So basically, when rumors come out that a player could potentially be traded, teams start calling, right? And so generally we see, like, trade rumor, and then it's like teams are fielding calls, right? And I think with Julio, around the time of the draft, that happened. The fact that he wasn't traded before the draft is not a great sign, because that would have been a perfect opportunity for a team that needed to fill a hole. Like, trade for Julio now, know you have him. The trade is processed on June 2nd for cap reasons, and then kind of move on from there. That didn't happen. So for me, you know, if the Falcons are going to demand a lot, and I know that they are and should, and maybe a more likely situation is if someone has some sort of training camp injury and they feel like they have to trade for Julio, maybe that is eventually what gets it done.
But, I mean, the problem with trading, with just say, hey, we'll make the trade now, but we'll just process it on June 2nd is, you know, anything can happen to Julio Jones, God forbid, between May and June, and somebody's already gotten the draft choices. I mean, that's a very difficult thing to pull off in the NFL. We do see it a lot in the NBA. So what do you think? The cap charge is $15 million for whatever team that takes him on, according to Jeremy Fowler. Chargers, Colts, 49ers, Patriots are the teams that could just do it right now. They don't have to reconfigure anything on their cap. They could just make this deal and do it. And those are four teams that definitely fits the bill of Julio Jones wanting to be a piece to a possible championship puzzle. Do you think that's possible, Ian?
I would also say, you know, if Julio does want out, which clearly he's interested in some level in a trade, my guess is he would probably redo his deal in a way that would make it more cap friendly for a team. Or you know, we could also see what we've seen in the past, which is the Falcons would say, you know what, we have to get a first round pick. It just has to happen. So we'll pay a little bit of the salary to make sure that it happens. Like, we've seen that too. So, you know, looking at the teams that could do it cap-wise, like, I think that eliminates too many. Because I think what we found, for better or worse, is that the teams in cap trouble are a lot of times the teams that are good, who have great players who they have to pay, and they somehow make it work. Like, I don't think the Falcons would ever trade them to the Saints. Like, why would you?
Right.
But the Saints have no cap space for the next 20 years, and they probably could make it work somehow. They just always are able to, you know? So I think I think if a team wants him, they'll figure out how to do it more than anything.
Okay, before I let you go, for you to tee it up, Ian Rappaport, my longtime colleague at the Worldwide Leader, Kenny Mayne, tonight is his last SportsCenter. He has tweeted out, you know, in the past week that Aaron Rodgers is going to pay him a visit as a farewell and as an attaboy for their friendship as Kenny's remarkable career at ESPN comes to a close at the SportsCenter tonight. So the quiet that has fallen on this story since, I guess, the Kentucky Derby may be broken tonight. What do you think is going on with Rodgers and the Packers? And certainly if Aaron does make that appearance tonight, that will be fascinating. But what is the quiet? Can you interpret the quiet for me, Ian?
First of all, I don't know anything. I mean, I know some things, but I don't know anything about what Rodgers is going to say to Kenny Mayne. I have some doubts as to whether it's going to be substantive or not. I mean, maybe he does a solid for his friend and tells him something, but I would imagine it's going to be much funnier than it is informative.
Okay.
But we'll see. You know, what's happening now is Rodgers is in Hawaii with his fiance playing guitar, I believe I saw on social media. And the Packers are moving forward with Jordan Love at OTAs. I know they still have had, I don't know how recent the conversations have had, but in the last several weeks there's been contract conversations, negotiations. I still believe that is the very serious focus for the Packers to get him a new deal that gives him some security that he wants. So to me, the quiet means they're trying. That's as far as I can tell, that is what it means and all it means.
Ian, thanks for the time. Really appreciate you popping in.
Hold on, Rich. I want to say one thing real quick first.
Sure.
So you are a noted fan of Breaking Bad.
Yes, sir.
I have only recently learned that this is a great show that I should watch. So I'm now in season two.
Oh.
And I just met Saul for the first time, who is quite a character. And I know that is one of your people. So I just want to say that I'm enjoying it immensely, and where have I been for the last decade?
So when you said you met Saul, you mean through the television, not actually Bob Odenkirk himself, is what you're saying?
Yes, not the real person, but the character. He popped up on my on my iPad as I was watching,
dude.
And I'm like, oh, wow, here we go.
You're about to have a whole world unlocked for you, Ian. Where have you been? And it is truly one of the best shows. And then you got Better Call Saul after that. And that the final season of that is being shot right now. You're in great shape, man. I'm kind of jealous, to be honest with you. You're in good shape.
It's one of those weird things where everyone said it was so good.
Oh, yeah.
And it actually has been as good as everyone said,
the
which is pretty awesome.
It leads, it keeps living up to it. It's only going to get better. It really will.
Awesome.
Ian, thanks for the call, man. You take care.
All right. Thanks, Rich.
You
take
got
care.
It, man. You bet. The one thing I take out of that is the fact that, hey, the cap space is only this and that. He's right. Julio Jones is up for grabs, man. He said he's out of there, is what he said. He is out of Atlanta. I'm out of there. So he will be out of there. That's the way things appear to be rolling in the NFL these days. I'm out of there. And if I'm him, man, would I want to wind up on the 49ers in the worst way. Now, he's going to have to, his quarterback would change. You look at New England, the quarterback's going to change there too. The spot where the quarterback's not going to change, Los Angeles Chargers.
Bingo.
You can come play. You want to? If he's at all rumored to be concerned about how Ryan's arm strength is gone, okay, how does Justin Herbert sound?
No,
how does Los Angeles sound? How does SoFi Stadium sound to you? Why wouldn't he want to go there? Rams, too. You want Stafford? And you don't even look up the Rams cap situation because Les Snead is the king of – we'll figure it out.
I was looking up who wears 11 right now in the Chargers.
Whoever that is going to have to cough it up. I'm telling you, man, Los Angeles football, that stadium, SoFi Stadium, Hollywood Park, beautiful. You will see the ball like it's in a VR goggle. And I'll tell you what. You want Justin Herbert? You want Matthew Stafford? It's like, what flavor do you want? What situation do you want?
Edelman just retired. No, Evans available in New England.
There you go. They'll give it to him. He wants to go there, go for it. It's a little cold. I'm serious.
A little cold.
You want to play inside? Come west. You're Julio Jones. Why wouldn't you want to do that? Seriously, Les Snead is the king of, oh, what does it matter? Oh, you just paid this guy $100 million? We'll just trade two first-rounders. Oh, we need somebody on the back end of the defense to team with Aaron Donald? Yeah, we'll just trade a first-rounder, a couple to Jacksonville. Who cares if, you know, we won't draft first in the next 5 years? We got a young coach. We got second and third and fourth and fifth round draft picks. What do we care? It's on. It's on for Julio Jones. It's on. Oh, baby. Rick Spielman is the general manager of the Minnesota Vikings. He is coming up in just 5 minutes right here on Peacock. Nate Ebner of the Giants behind him right here on the Rich Eisen Show. We're still here on Peacock.
Michael Pittman wears 11. Colts.
Well, we heard that he won't give that up to Lynch.
Hey, here's
something I was thinking about this weekend. I want to take a couple minutes here to mention. Seeing Phil Mickelson stroll through that crowd at the PGA Championship was a remarkable sight. A remarkable sight. The fact that Phil, who has such a huge following, was being followed by a whole bunch of people was remarkable. It was a little scary. There was a part of time where I'm like, I hope this doesn't get out of control. And part of it for me was, I don't see many masks on.
I said the same thing.
I don't see many masks on at all.
Zero, really.
I was then watching at the same time, talk about Slam Diego, when Phil went up three, Fernando Tatis left the yard in San Diego for another Grand Slam. And he did his, he went full Tatis. Bat flip, took some time around the bases, and the fans that were in San Diego were going crazy. Going crazy.
Orsillo's call was tremendous.
He is just a dynamite player. And you could see the fans in the stands behind him. He just charged him up. Then, just about a half an hour later, is when the Knicks and the Hawks tipped off, and I got goosebumps because it reminded me of my childhood. Madison Square Garden, 15,000 fans inside the garden. Many of them are all masked up, but 15,000 fans, and it was lit. And all I could think of was the Monday before Memorial Day last year, we come on this show, and all we're talking about is The Last Dance, because that was the only thing we had. And we're all sitting around wondering, what in the hell is life going to be like? When are we going to get sports back at all? And here we are the Monday before Memorial Day, that weekend before Memorial Day weekend, and fans were everywhere, and it was lit. And all I will say is thank you to science. I have no idea how many people there were vaccinated, but the fact is, six states in the United States right now, 7-day rolling average of COVID deaths are one or fewer. One death. One. So if you're a fan out there and you're sitting here thinking, thank God the fans are there and sports are back, it's because of getting vaccinated. Please get yours. Hour 3 coming up.